Canto 5, Chapter 6, Lord Rishabhadevan's Activities. The king said, O Supreme One, self-satisfied souls, of whom the seed of fruit of action has been burned by the spiritual knowledge acquired by the practice of yoga, automatically achieve mystical powers. How can those cities become a hindrance? The sage said, You are quite right in saying that yoga leads to certain powers, but in this world one, just like a cunning hunter, does not directly put faith in the special talents of the mind that, just like game, always runs off. Therefore, they say that one should never make friends with the restless mind. Even the greatest souls, like Lord Shiva and sage Sobari, got disturbed putting faith in it after for a long time having practiced austerities. Just as a husband with an adulterous wife must guard against competitors, also a yoga practitioner must guard against putting faith in the mind that always offers opportunity to lust and the enemies of greed and anger belonging to it. Which man of wisdom would confide in the undirected mind that is the breeding ground for the lust, anger, pride, greed, lamentation, illusion and fear that together constitute the bondage to one's karma? Even though he, Rishabha, was the head of all kings and rulers of this universe, he, in terms of this logic, acted in the dress, with the language and the character of an avaduta, as if he was dumb. He concealed his supreme lordship in order to be able to teach the yogis by the example of his own personal vehicle of time how to forsake in yoga. As if he was a normal mortal being trying to forsake his physical body, he, according to the supreme command of the soul, not being hindered by the illusory nature of matter, always kept to himself the inner vision of the love transcendental to all vice, and thus put an end to his material existence. With him, the Supreme Lord Rishabhadeva, free from identification with his material form, we thus witnessed the apparent physical presence, the engagement of his body in this illusory world. He all alone travelled the lands of South India, Konka, Venka and Kutaka in the province of Karnata, and reached a forest nearby Kutakachala. There he, with a handful of stones in his mouth, wandered around naked with scattered hair, like he was a madman. In a fierce forest fire blazing all around, that was caused by the friction of bamboo stalks tossed about by the force of the wind, his body, in that forest, then burnt to ashes. Hearing about his pastimes of being free from all ritual and custom, the king of Konka, Venka, and Kutaka, who carried the name Arhat, took to an imitation of them. Bewildered by an increase of irreligious life that forebode the arrival of the Kali Yuga age of quarrel, he gave up the safe path of religion that wards off all fear, and adopted a nonconformistic, wrong, heretical view by introducing, most foolishly, a concoction of his own. The lowest of mankind in this age of Kali, who, lacking in character, cleanliness and dutifulness in respect of the rules and regulations, are bewildered by the illusory energy of God, will, because of this in neglect of the divine, self-willed and with wrong principles, follow strange rules like not bathing, not cleaning the mouth, being dirty and plucking out the hair. With their consciousness spoiled by an abundance of modern time adharma, or forsaking of duties, they will fall into blaspheming the Vedas, the Brahmins, rituals such as sacrifices, and the Supreme Personality and the devotees. They who, encouraged by blind predecessors, with a deviating practice have built their own little world or cult, will, themselves being blinded, land in darkness. This Avatara of the Lord was there for the purpose of instructing the people who are overwhelmed by passion in the matter of emancipation, the path to attain eternal happiness or final beatitude, Kaivalya. In line with these teachings, the people sing the following verses about him. Oh, of all the lands on the continents of this world with its seven seas, this land of Bharatavarsha, India, is the most meritorious, for their people sing about the all-auspicious activities of Murari in his many incarnations. Oh, what should one say about the pure and renowned dynasty of King Priyavrata, wherein the original person, the Supreme Personality, descended as an incarnation? He, the unparalleled one, performed the religious duty that puts an end to profit-minded labor. Is there any other yogi of perseverance and determination who, desiring the perfections that for being insubstantial were rejected by Rishabha, can follow but even in his mind the example of this unborn Godhead? I have thus expounded on the pure activities of the Lord named Rishabha, who is the supreme master of all Vedic knowledge for the common man, the God-conscious souls, the Brahmins and the cows. He who with a growing faith and devotion attentively listens to, speaks to others about, or personally attends to this refuge of his great and supreme auspiciousness that puts an end to all the sins of every living being, will unto him, the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, be favorably disposed with an unflinching devotion in both the positions of listening and speaking. Incessantly bathing themselves in that devotion in order to be free from suffering the various troublesome conditions of material existence, those who developed spiritual wisdom enjoy the highest bliss. But, despite having achieved that liberation, they do not strive for that supreme goal of all human beings. Having entered a relationship with the Supreme Personality, they, after all, attained all their goals. Dear King, Parikshit, he undoubtedly was the maintainer and teacher, the worshipable deity, friend and master of your Yadu line, and sometimes he even acted as a servant. Thus, my best one, he indeed was Mukunda, the supreme lord of liberation, mukti, of those engaged in devotion. But to confidentially engage someone in his devotional service like he did with Arjuna on the battlefield, he does not that easily. All glories to him, the Supreme Lord Rishabhadeva, he who, constantly aware of his true identity, complete within himself and without desires, was as graceful to expand for the true welfare of man his activities on the material plane and, for the human being whose intelligence slept a long time, gave instruction about the true self free from fear.